To the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, and let's take a reading in Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Now, I join with the sentiments that our brethren have already expressed. It's been wonderful to be with you for the weekend. We appreciate all the hard work and the effort that the Christians have put into making the conference so profitable. Thanks so much. The book of Deuteronomy, then, and we read in chapter 6. Let's read from verse number 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets upon thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. Now, look down with me just to complete the reference. Verse number 20, the same chapter, but verse number 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good alway, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Now the Lord bless to us further the reading of the sacred scriptures, and give the help of his gracious spirit as we seek to speak upon this beautiful passage of Holy Scripture. Some might remember who were here yesterday that I tried to speak and outline a number of questions that appear in the scriptures. And so we mentioned Exodus chapter 12 and the question there that children would ask their parents, what mean ye by this service, the Passover? And then I mentioned the book of Ezekiel. By the way, when did you last read in the book of Ezekiel? As Mr. Maxwell used to say, that's a deep one. Good question to ask ourselves when we last read in that prophecy. But I did mention Ezekiel chapter 37, and in that chapter, the question is asked, two sticks are taken representing the nation, the northern section of the nation, the southern part of the nation, and the question is, what meanest thou by these? I mentioned again and tried to speak on the book of Joshua yesterday, and the question there in chapters 3 and 4, as we look at the book of Joshua and see those stones being erected on the other side of Jordan at Gilgal, and we ask the question, and we read the question, what mean these stones? What I want to speak about just for a few minutes is the book of Deuteronomy here. And the question which we find in verse number 20, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments of the Lord? What mean these statutes? Now, you will likely be aware that this is an old man. This is the man Moses. Now, we find ourselves in the plains of Moab. The nation is about to enter the land. This is the man that actually gave the law 40 years previous to this. Some may know that the book of Deuteronomy is a slight misnomer. The name Deuteronomy for us comes from the Latin, which was taken from the Greek. and it means the second law, and that's a misnomer, because this is not a second law. This is a man standing now, the old statesman of Israel. He's standing. He himself, he will not go into the land, but he's standing addressing the nation. The second census has been taken. He's looking over the nation, and now these are the words. It's not so much a second law, but this man is giving to a different generation the principles that was given to a former generation. And I learn this. The truth of God, it needs to be passed down. That's why we have conferences. That's why we come together. Not to receive a second law. Not to receive something new. Who was it? Someone was telling me about Mr. Procopio last night. And they said he spoke at a conference. And as he's speaking at a conference, he said to the believers that were gathered, he said, you know, if you get something that's completely new and you've never heard it before, throw it away. Good point. Mind you, brethren and sisters, we are passing down truth. I'll come back to that. But you remember the words of Paul, that the things which thou hast learned from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who in turn shall be able to teach others also. And so we see an old man. You see him pulling himself to his full height. You see him looking over the nation. He will address them here in the plains of Moab before they go into the land. And you say, what will he tell them? He will give them the statutes. He will give them the testimonies. He will speak to them of the judgments and testimonies of the Lord. You will notice that as he does that, he speaks in verse number 4. And he says here, hear, O Israel. This is a commandment, by the way. What the Jews would call, or in the Hebrew, it's the Shema. Taken from that word, hear. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. Now you'll notice he moves. You'll notice as Moses addresses these people, he moves from the plural and he says to them, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And as he speaks in the plural, then he moves to the singular and he says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. He's pointing out that they have a relationship with God, and he wants them to receive this message. Hear, O Israel. This is a commandment coming from God. This is something I want you to give heed to. This is something I want you to hear. This is something I want you to put your feet upon as he commands this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. I want you to notice as he does this, he gives us the basis of receiving these statutes. He gives us the basis of accepting these testimonies. He gives us the basis of understanding how we can serve God acceptably. And you say, how is that? Well, he tells us about love. I mean, you think about the law. We've already had it addressed today. You think about the law. And you say, the law would instruct us to love? Yes. In fact, when we're looking at this, there's three things I want to intimate here very quickly. I want you to notice that Moses will tell them who we are to love. You will notice that Moses will intimate to them why we are to love. And the third thing, very quickly, before I come to the statutes and the commandments and the question we will address, we will have to notice this, how we are to love. First of all, then, who we are to love. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. And he starts to bring into their vision the wonder and the majesty and the greatness of their God. You know, brethren and sisters, this is our God. The same God that these people would worship. The same God that these people would serve. The same God that these people were brought into relationship to. This is our God. And Moses speaks who we are to love. You will notice that in the text here of verse 4, it speaks to us of God and his uniqueness. One God. One Lord. Now, we could hardly read those words without thinking of the words of Paul in the book of Ephesians. One of the things I'm aware of is this, that it comes to the last day of conference, and it comes almost to the last session of conference, and the believers are sitting there thinking, we're glad we got that coffee. Aren't you, Brother Craig?
Aren't you glad you got that coffee at the break time? But I mean, think of the speakers. I mean, my brain's feeling fuzzy up here. Maybe you don't think that, but I sure think it. And I'm wondering, okay, but here we are, and Moses is dealing with who we are to love. And he's telling us about God's uniqueness. And we go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We read here, the Lord our God is one Lord. And Paul emphasizes one Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. And brethren and sisters, we have to bow as we acknowledge again the uniqueness of our God. Will you say, what was the emphasis in the lives of this people? Why emphasize this to them? Well, they were going to go into a land where there would be many gods. They were going to put their feet on Canaan soil. And as they stepped onto Canaan soil, they would be faced with heathen gods and pluralism. And people would come to them and say, we have our gods and we have our way to God. Does it remind you of anything? It reminds me of this, that the Bible is bang up to date. These people were facing the exact same problems which we face. And yet Moses reminds them of who we are to love, God in His uniqueness. This statement not only reminds me of God and His uniqueness, it speaks to me of God and His unity, one God. Now you say, well, isn't that a denial of the Trinity? I don't think so. Most will likely understand that the word one which is used here is actually the same word used in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, I think it's verse number 27. Male and female, what our brother Craig was speaking about, now they're brought together. And it speaks about Adam and Eve. They too shall be one. One flesh. And so we've got diversity within that unique oneness. So it is here. It's the oneness of divine persons. And you say, what is the oneness here? What is the unity? I take it it's the unity of purpose. God is moving in His purpose. God will speak to these people. He will tell them He wants them to love Him with all of their might, with all of their soul, with all of their strength, with all of their heart. That's how He wants them to love Him, with a unity of purpose. And before He tells them that, He tells them about the unity of His purpose. That's why He's called them. That's why He speaks to them. That's why He redeemed them. The Lord thy God, our God, is one Lord. And so we've got it, who we are to love. I want to speak for a moment on why we are to love. You will notice in the book of Deuteronomy, if you read the book of Deuteronomy, if you go through the book of Genesis, I don't think that you get God's love expressed to the people of Israel. Go through the book of Exodus. You might read about His mercy. Sometimes in the other books of the Pentateuch, you'll read about His grace, but you never read about His love. But you see, when you come into the book of Deuteronomy 4, verse number 37, Deuteronomy chapter 7, Deuteronomy chapter 23, Deuteronomy chapter 33, you know what God is doing? He starts and He tells these people, I loved you, and I loved your fathers, and that's why I brought you out. That's why I redeemed you from Egypt. That's why I called you. That's why you were my people, because I set my love upon you. You know, brethren and sisters, God is calling for their love, but He first loved them. Does it remind you of 1 John? You recall what John says. We love. Why is it we love? We love Him because He first loved us, set His love upon us. Someone reminded us yesterday, I've just come out of gospel meetings. I got to tell you, one of the problems I have in gospel meetings, I always revert back. You go for a ministry meeting on a Saturday night, might as well be a gospel meeting. You say, why is that? Because I'm always reverting back to gospel truth. You know, brethren and sisters, it's a wonderful thing to think about God, whoever set His love upon us. God whoever redeemed us. God whoever delivered us from a real burning lake of fire. And yet here we have it, who they are to love, why they are to love. I want to speak about this, how they are to love. He says, thou shalt love with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This word heart, most will understand, we use it as the seat of the emotions. I don't think that's how the word is being used here. If you check the word, the first reference of it is in the book of Genesis. And it says about God, Genesis chapter 6, God saw the wickedness of man, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. It's really the seat of the intellect. How should we love God? With all of our intellect. I'm speaking to young people here today. And we heard yesterday, our brother Craig reminded us of why God has saved you. And some of our other brethren also have touched it through the conference. Do you know why God saved you, young person? You know why God called you out of darkness? So that you would use what you have, that intellect which He has given you, so that you would use that for His glory and put everything on the line for Him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The second word really is the word more linked to the emotions. I know it could go wider than that, but let me link it to the emotions just as I leave it. And the third word, with all thy might. You say, what's that? It's the abundance of everything we have. Actually, the Greek translation, they translate this word as power. The Aramaic translation, it translates this word as wealth. And so we put it together. Whether it's our might, or our power, or our wealth, really what we're learning is this. God expects everything we are. And God expects everything we have. We've already heard it today. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. And here we have it. What mean ye by these statutes? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That brings me then to the statutes. I want to speak on three things as we consider the question here. I want you to notice, first of all, the responsibility to the statutes. Then as we look at the statutes, we'll notice the regard for the statutes. And the last thing I want to speak to you about is the repetition of the statutes, because when thy son asketh thee in time to come, there was to be repetition. Actually, I don't want to touch it just now and preempt it, but you go to chapter 31, and you'll find that every 7 years, these words of the law were to be read to the people of God. More than that, not only were they to be read congregationally, but you will find in the home, these words were to be conveyed to children. When thy son asketh thee, the repetition of the statutes. And so first of all then, the responsibility of the statutes. Now, I'm in verse number 6. Look at what he says. Verse number 6 and verse number 7. He says, first of all, thou shalt teach them. The second thing he says in verse number 7 is, thou shalt talk of them. The third thing he says is, thou shalt bind them. And the last thing he says in verse number 9 is this, and thou shalt write them. The responsibility of the statutes. First of all then, teach them. This word is a beautiful word in Hebrew. It does have the word of repetition. It does have that connotation. But that's a secondary connotation. Actually, the word means, in its beautiful context, it means to sharpen. Now what it means is this, as we teach our children the scriptures, as young people are taught the word of God, they are sharpened. Really the picture is this, it's really the picture of someone who comes to granite, and there's a great monument in front of him, and he takes a chisel, and he takes a hammer, and he starts to beat out into that granite a message. You say, that's a laborious task. Man, can you imagine trying to do that? Inscribing something into that pillar of granite, but he works at it, and he sharpens it, and he keeps at it until indelibly there's a message left there, and it can't be removed. That's what we're learning here about our children. Do you know what Moses is saying? Listen, sharpen your children. Pour the word of God into their ears. Get them to learn the Bible. Teach them in children's meetings. I should admit to you this afternoon, I'm glad. I listened to our brother Andrew today. You know, I wouldn't be as strong as what I said about marriages yesterday or weddings. Perhaps I shouldn't have said, I hate weddings. That was maybe a little strong. I dislike them. But you see, when it comes to teaching children, I mean Sunday school, children's meetings, I'm absolutely hopeless at it. Really, please don't ask me to teach children. Give me a Bible reading on Revelation 17. Is that a difficult enough one? Yeah, Babylon in Revelation 17. But I watch some of our brethren as they teach children. And you can see the children leaning forward. And you can see them opening their eyes. And you can see them as they're receiving the scriptures. That's what Moses is speaking about. Any of you brethren here, and you teach kids, you take a Sunday school class, you work with those children in children's meetings, you pour the word of God into those children. Listen to what Moses says. With responsibility to the statutes, he says, teach them. You inscribe the word of God into those hearts. You take that hammer, the word of God itself, and you with that hammer beat that message into that young heart. It will never leave it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Teaching the statutes. The second thing is, talking about the statutes, listen to what he says now. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Almost everything of life. When you get up in the morning, talk about the scriptures. When you go to lie down at night, talk about the scriptures. When you're sitting in your home, talk about the scriptures. When you're walking by the way, talk about the scriptures. You know, it's a wonderful thing to speak about the scriptures. It was Mr. Orosok. Some of the younger folks here may not remember Mr. Peter Orosok. He was a drug addict. You can listen to his testimony online. It's a wonderful testimony to listen to. He was a drug addict for 8 years. He was in prison 3 times. And the Lord miraculously saved him. But he was in Ireland for a series of gospel meetings. Saturday night comes, and he was invited to come to a place called Newton Breda. They got some strange names over there. I know. And so he gets to Newton Breda, and the hall was full. I mean, all the seats were filled. The ante room was filled. Behind the platform was filled. There were people standing in a little room behind that. That's where myself and my sisters were. Mr. Orosok, he got nervous. You'd hardly believe this. Preacher's getting nervous. But he got nervous before he spoke, and so he went out for a walk, and he got lost. He was never good with directions. He gets lost. And he's walking around, trying to find out where he was, and suddenly he sees them come. There comes a Christian lady. She's wearing her hat. She has her long hair. She's carrying her purse, and her husband's walking along beside her, and he's carrying his Bible. They're coming to hear the man tell his testimony. So he joined them. And he's walking along with them. And he said to them, where are you guys going? This is the good part. They think everyone's American over there. They said to him, we're going to hear an American preacher tell how he got saved. So he didn't say anything, kept walking with them. They get to the hall. The brethren at this stage have given out a number of hymns. They're looking for Mr. Orosok. He's gone AWOL. One of the men looks at him and says, where did you go? And he looked at the two overseers who were there and he says, listen, no matter how many people are in this hall, you find a seat for that brother and his wife. He told his testimony. He said it was one of the biggest compliments he ever got in his life. That man came out, shook his hand at the door as he was leaving. That brother took his hand and he said to him, you rascal. The dear sister took his hand as she was leaving the meeting that night. Do you know what she said? Did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us by the way? My brethren, my sister, teach them, but talk about them. Talk about the scriptures. Talk about the Lord Jesus. With your wife, with your husband, talk about the Savior of the world. When you're lying down, when you're rising up, when you're walking by the way, when you're sitting in your home, teach the Scriptures and talk about the Scriptures. You'll notice the third thing. He speaks here in verse number 8, and he says, "Thou shalt bind them. Bind them for a sign upon thy hand." Now, you know what he's saying by this now? You know that would govern everything that they would take into their hands. We've heard a lot about that this weekend. We've heard about that, those moments on the internet, when only a double click would take you into a site, and you know once you go there, you're dabbling in sin. Listen, my brother, my sister, bind them upon your hand. I don't mean literally, but I would say metaphorically. When those temptations come, take the word of God. These people would be reminded, I have bound something into my hand, and it governs my life. It governs everything I touch. It governs everywhere I go. It will govern everything I look at. The word of God, bind it upon your hand. He says this, as I move from it very quickly, the last thing he mentions with regard to the responsibility of the Scriptures, thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. Do you know what that tells me? These would be homes that were regulated by the word of God. As these Israelites would move into their homes, they would take a look and they would know it's the Bible is controlling what I have in my house. It's the word of God that is putting constraints upon me with what I have in my home. Bind them and then write them. Both on their homes. Their homes would be regulated by the word and their gates. These are not the little gateposts that they would have outside the homes. I take it that these are the gates of the city. They're very communities. They're very centers. The communities in which they lived would be governed by the word of God. May it ever be so with us. My brother, my sister, when it comes to our homes and when it comes to the assemblies of which we form a part, may it be that we will write them upon the posts of the house and upon our gates. And so I move very quickly from the responsibility of the statutes. Let me come to this, the regard for the statutes. You know, these Israelites, they were just like us. If I told you that they didn't read the Bible, would you believe that? You say that couldn't be. I mean, this God, He loves them. This God has told them time after time that He's set His love upon them. And He's given them His Word. And He expects them to be in the Word. And He expects them to teach the Word. And He expects them to inscribe the Word. And He expects them to bind the Word and to talk about the Word. And yet, here they are. And the ages pass. And the years pass. And you know what they find? They let it go. Am I speaking to a brother or a sister this afternoon? You've let it go. And you're not taking the time in the Word of God, which you once did. You've let go the statutes of the Lord. You'll be reminded again of Josiah. I think it was our brother Valance reminded us yesterday in his ministry. 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah comes to the throne, 8 years of age. We were reminded of the reform that Josiah put into place. We were told about how he pulled down the groves, how he stopped the worship of Baal. We've been reminded of how he started to rebuild the center of the Lord. And we were told that the moment comes when Hilkiah the priest walked into the house of the Lord and he found the book. It was a tremendous moment. And Hilkiah comes to the king. And he says to the king, I have found the book of the law. And he starts to read to the king the statutes of the Lord our God in the book of Deuteronomy. And what did Josiah do? He rends his clothes. He falls on his face before the Lord with regard to the statutes. My brother, my sister, what about our regard for the statutes of the Lord? You will know that there was a great revival broke out. They found the book of God. The king was putting reform into place. And now there's revival which is broken out. You know, brethren and sisters, if it happened to us, I don't think we'd know what to do with it. Really, I don't. I was listening to Mr. Gilliland just a few months ago, I was attending gospel meetings, traveling from home. I think it was an hour and 20 minutes each way to the gospel meeting. And I mean, you got to do something for an hour and 20 minutes when you're driving, right? And so I put on a recording of Mr. Gilliland about times of revival. He told about a little schoolhouse. I have to admit, I listened to it and I broke down weeping in the car. Told about a little schoolhouse. There was a child came to school that day. It was raining outside. The child comes to school so troubled in his sins. Eventually the teacher looked at him and said, "Listen, if you're so troubled about being saved, go home." The child goes out the door, still raining. He gets down on his knees in the mud, beseeching God for salvation. And the teacher turned from the window, and every other child in the building was down on their knees, beseeching God's salvation. The day finished with that boy outside coming to Christ, with every child in that building coming to Christ, with that teacher herself coming to Christ. My brethren, my sisters, I say again, if revival broke out, we would hardly know what to do with it. The regard to the statutes. Just as I finish today, let me speak again about the repetition of the statutes. Thou shalt tell thy son, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? They were to speak to their children. My brother, I've already quoted Paul. You're likely aware of what Peter said. Peter speaks, and he reminds those that he's writing to that they're already established in the present truth. But he says, listen, I would put you in remembrance of it. Even though you know it, even though you're established in it, I would repeat it to you, and I would give it to you again. My brother, my sister, isn't it a wonderful time to come to conference? Isn't it wonderful to hear the scriptures being opened? Wasn't it a wonderful thing to hear our brethren pouring into our ears the book of God? I say again, what mean these statutes? May the Lord help us. May the Lord bless us in our lives for Him, that we give Him our all. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord.